Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the May 25 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures Magazine from Chicago, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming in mostly its entirety each and every business day of the year. Again, the address, WILLAG.org. Let's begin, as we always do, by getting a list of items we should discuss. I think Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities will start with you. What's on your list?
Yeah, weather first. The forecast long term is a little drier and a little warmer. I think that hurt. And energy markets really sliding backward. That's also hurting some.
Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities.
Yeah, I think going to be dialing in the commitment to traders reports. We've been focusing on that for an extended period of time. And I think today's liquidation by the funds definitely put some pressure on commodities in general. So I think that's going to be the one to watch. The other thing is going to be, you know, how do we dial in prevent plant and all the replanting that's going on? Because we've had that surface as a significant issue over the last week.
And finally, Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures.
Taking a close look at seasonal trends, this is a real key weekend, this Memorial Day weekend on in for the next 3 weeks. Corn especially is at a turning point here. It's pretty much now or never.
Well, tell me a little bit about that. What have you seen in the seasonal trends and the analysis you've done?
Well, in years with, let's say, normal production, normal supplies of corn like we have this year, the old crop futures typically don't last very much longer past Memorial Day. We saw that that break certainly starting to develop this week. If we can't hold on here, and there's really no reason for the old crop to stay very firm, except for questions about new crop, it could really make for a difficult time for farmers holding on to a lot of old crop corn. The new crop futures typically don't make their turn until the middle of the month, either middle of June, either higher or lower. That's obviously when the two-week forecasts start to peer into the pollination window.
Let's ask this question of all three of you then. We've got a view from Bryce Knorr about the seasonals. There are producers that will have an awful lot of corn left to sell from last year's crop, a very big crop. Bill Gentry, will they have very much time, and how do you deal with it?
I think the thing to do right now is probably really push it out the door as best you can. You know, we've been trying to get that done. We've tried to reward good basis levels, but I think it does become a very big concern when you also look at the years that you've had very wet springs and had issues like this. The market or the USDA really did not engage that situation until the fall report. So we're really not, we may not get a bowing. The funds are being in the driver's seats. We can talk about wet stuff and prevent plant and all these issues, but it really doesn't get much traction when we've got this much corn in the countryside. So I think pushing it out the door, and if that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, re-ownership with a couple of calls probably can be a little bit of a pacifier at this point.
Pete Manhart, your thoughts in this process? I know that the cash grain basis has been better in the last week or so. I would think maybe that has to do with farmers back in the field, but you have different thoughts on what the old crop corn situation is like or not?
No, I think that needs to be pushed out the door as you can and go from there with it. I think, as mentioned earlier, this wetness of the spring really doesn't get recognized until lots later during the year, usually in wet years. So we have hopes of down the road being higher, but the old crop, I think, lots of it out there needs to be pushed out the door.
And so you talked a little bit about the weather conditions and something maybe being a bit better, Pete. I take it that when you look at that, whether the weather was better or worse in the month of June as it's related to old crop. The weather would be pushing the new crop price and not the old crop in that case, or not very much at least?
The new crop, it would be pushing and not much of the old because there's so much of the old around.
Yeah, especially what I think we'll see, and we saw this last year, if we do get a rally on the board, that's just going to bring even more corn to town in a hurry, weakening the basis. And you could really see the impact of what could happen this week in the areas of the Northwest Corn Belt, let's say South Dakota, where they got the corn crop planted pretty quickly. Those growers were selling corn this week. The basis weakened. Here in the eastern Midwest, the basis firmed because farmers are still holding on to that corn, worried about it being too wet.
And your advice does not differ from one side of the Corn Belt to the other then, Bryce?
Well, I think, I think if you get a push, any type of push, you have to use it. And you have to lock in a price on the board. What I've been telling growers is anytime you get really above 373, 375 on that July contract, you have to be making some sales and just keep chipping away at it. Whether or not we're going to get another opportunity at that level is kind of a question now.
So this probably is not the kind of news that producers have been wanting to hear. They've been at these cash price levels, I think, a couple, two or three times as we've made our way since the harvest month. We've been locked in a channel. Do we see any reason for us to go outside of the channel? And I'm guessing not to the upside unless there's a weather condition. Bryce, is there any reason to push lower?
I don't think we'll probably push it a whole lot lower. Unless there's the first condition report, and that's the other event that's going to be happening here this next week. USDA will put out their first crop ratings. Unless that's an exceptionally strong report, which I don't anticipate it will be, that would be the type of news that would start to push the market lower because that's one of the few tools that the typical trader has to try to evaluate how big the crop might be.
Bill Gentry, can you work your thoughts on the commitment of trader reports and the liquidation that you've seen in the funds and what that means to the marketplace?
Well, I think that the funds have basically turned short almost all the commodities. They were long beans for quite a while, but they've turned short over the last several weeks. They've been short wheat for well over a year, and they've been short corn for several months. I think at this particular point in time, there's probably not enough ammunition for them to crowd the short side a lot more in wheat, beans. Maybe when we get a little bit more seed in the ground, there might be an impetus. You know, a lot of these guys have been talking about big production figures, and the USDA's got a pretty big balance sheet. At the bottom line, it's kind of fat, but it probably could expand a little bit, which might spark the funds to sell a little bit more. But the corn market, I don't think there's a real reason for them to press the short side just yet. But one of the things that we keep in mind in the office is we're just about not ready to put a nail in the coffin for one of the variables of production, which is planting. It may not be pretty. It may not be complete at this point in time. But the trade's probably going to hit that nail and say, that one's done. What's next? And then we turn to summer weather and pollination perspectives. And we are going to get a warm up and Mother Nature's going to run its course. So pressing the short side right now is kind of tough. The other thing I might mention, and it's kind of a little bit of a reach, is we dialed down our yield expectation for this year's crop this Monday. We dialed it down to about 5 bushels below trend. And then when you work the numbers, depending on what your assumptions are for demand, that does get your carryout comfortably below a 2 billion bushel mark, which tends to be a little bit supportive, especially for your new crop month in corn.
Yeah, so now if you are thinking that the trade and is going to be satisfied that the crop has been planted, will acreage change very much? And I mean in total, do you think it will go up and down? And I suppose the other thing is, will there be much of a switch at all?
You know, that's a tough one to tell. And we talked about that specifically this morning about the acreage shift. And one of the things that I tend to say is the yield becomes the paramount feature going forward, because we're going to get some numbers from the USDA at the end of June, and those are going to be based on some surveys that are going to be collected probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But a lot of this crop's not going to be known. It might be intentions or what farmers think they're going to do, but they don't have it all done yet. There's going to be some prevent plant that typically it's difficult to quantify that. So getting the right answer ahead of time is almost a guaranteed miss. Usually the January numbers for acres are the next reliable ones we see. So what I do is probably start dialing in the yield expectations and use that as a focal point, especially when we get back from Memorial Day weekend.
Now, where did you start your yield expectations this year, and where do you stand today for corn? And you may as well use your bean numbers, too.
Yeah, I think the 175 was a pretty good starting point to trend line yield. Realistically, you know, that's not a bad figure. And looking at soybeans, you know, they're working their ways at, 48 bushel. I don't have an adjustment for that one yet because it's too soon to tell. And also, what I try to keep in the back of my mind is August is really the yield maker or breaker for beans. So make an assumption of an extreme one way or the other before that is probably not a real accurate tool.
Have you got,
or an accurate assumption.
Bryce, do you have a set of numbers you've been working with, and are they very far off the numbers that we just heard?
Well, I started off with a yield of about 170 for corn. I actually raised my yield two and a half bushels this week, and that was based on, and when you take a look at some of the key states, the planting progress was actually a little faster than normal, believe it or not. And then when you add in the 90-day forecast that we got last week from the Weather Service, which shows above normal precipitation on the plains, some heat here in the Midwest and South, overall, that it doesn't affect the crop too much, but the combination of some good rain, or at least normal rain pretty much everywhere, plus that faster planting progress statistically at least improves the odds of a little bit better yield. But due to the cut in acres, we're still not talking much more than 14.1 billion bushels.
Yeah, and statistically, I don't think 170, 172 is too far apart either as you look at the marketplace. Is that about where you are, Pete, today or not?
Well, I think I'm more worried about all this terrible, too much wetness everywhere through the eastern Midwest. I know it's not in the western, but I think that will have more downside on the yield. And yield is the big number, not the acres. And we still have lots of things to be replanted that we might not get in those for another week to 2 weeks just due to the continuous rains that we've been having in the eastern Midwest. So I'm looking at a little lower yields due to all the wet problems here that we've had in the early spring, taking some vigor out of the corn crop.
Can you isolate spots from producers you've talked to where they really are suffering and will have to put quite a bit of replant corn in the ground?
I would say Route 36 south in Illinois, clear over into Indiana and Ohio on an angle towards northern Ohio.
Yeah, we heard calls from Wisconsin today, too, that we kind of thought they were in pretty good shape, and they've got replant issues. One guy had actually replanted it already twice.
The people that replanted here in the last 10 days in places where they really need a lot to do got another 3 to 5 inches, and so a lot of the replant that occurred in the last week or two might have to be done again.
Yeah, we have a feature called Feedback from the Field, where growers can go online and tell us how they're, you know, how much they planted, what type of shape the crop's in, and just provide some general comments. And certainly, those comments for farmers are echoing the panel's concerns. A lot of places picked up enormous amounts of rain. Growers made pretty good planting progress, believe it or not. It looks like 91% of the crop could be in Tuesday's report, maybe a little more. But again, how many of those, a lot of those acres, or at least some of those acres, have barely emerged. There are a lot of yellowing problems and kind of a litany of issues that are going to have to be resolved during the growing season.
Do you see any other regional differences? I think it's the northern, it's parts of Wisconsin, and then from southern Illinois south. Are there other places, Bryce, that you see in the comments that come in off on your magazine or on the website there that look awfully wet?
Well, parts of northern Illinois as well also appear to be pretty wet, all the way out to parts of Missouri, Kansas. Kansas, very slow planting, and that is also starting to raise some questions with wheat. They had some issues already down in Texas, so that's perhaps one thing that we don't think of too much here in the central Midwest that could have an impact on the corn market, at least indirectly, if wheat can hold on and avoid making new lows in the harvest.
How much of a problem do you think in northern Illinois?
Well, it seems to be a fairly localized problem, but as you get north, in that the northern couple tiers of counties, we have had some reports, and if you look at the moisture maps, they're also very wet.
Yeah, so I'm trying to put into my mind where these are and how much of an impact they have. So Missouri, Kansas, parts of southern Illinois, if it's on an angle up through Indiana, that might be a problematic area. Northern Illinois would certainly be a problematic area on national yields and have enough of have enough weight that it would make a difference.
Right. The last time I ran the soil moisture index, it showed 82% of the corn acres had surplus soil moisture. So that's an indication that, it certainly isn't dry.
It's not dry. However, the agronomists are saying not much need to worry about it. The cold temperatures have been as much of an impact as anything. And I think a couple of weeks of cold temperatures probably most people wouldn't have worried about, even the yellow corn, which has turned somewhat green. But it's been a month. I don't know. I suppose that may be one of the reasons, Bill Gentry, that you took 5 bushels off of your beginning number.
Yeah, I think the crop is off to a reasonable start. And granted, it could be regionalized. It's not universal. But some of these crops that have been standing in water have been wet all along. The ones that have kind of turned yellow or purple and are under stress. I think some warm days with some sunshine can cure those ills rather quickly. But for the time being, I'm pretty much going to say I need to see it. I'm not just going to assume that it's coming. We've seen a lot of flip-flops in this volatile weather pattern, and it's just not consistent for me just yet.
I think you have to worry about stands also. I think the stands are not near as good as expected in, an awful lot of the Illinois through Indiana and Ohio.
What's your assessment, Pete, of the soybean crop?
Soybean crop looks good where it's up. It's just sitting, waiting for warmer weather.
I would just say in our area, we did have the beans look pretty good where they've been planted, but we have had some guys that had to replant beans as well. It's a little bit of a shocker to me.
So we've got beans that really, we've got a long ways to go yet on soybeans, but we're on pace, Bryce, although it seems like we ought to be further along than we really are.
Right. It's due to the way the calendar falls, it's always, you're always either a week, it feels like you're a week or two ahead or a week or two behind. This is one of those years when it feels like we're slow, but statistically, at least, we aren't.
Yeah, so we're looking at a soybean crop now that's on pace, and as long as it's on pace, it's an August crop. We won't know much about that for a very long time. But we do have to work into this, the South American crop, which is big. And has been growing in size. Every time we get another monthly report, both from USDA and from CONAB, their bigger numbers are in. Have we finally, do you think, Bryce, gotten the largest figures out of that crop in South America?
Yeah, it may still grow a little bit, but I don't think it's going to get significantly bigger from where we're at now. Certainly it's plenty big, though.
Will the marketplace eventually drop because of this?
Well, we're already starting to see that in the slow pace of new crop soybean bookings. They're at, I think, a 9-year low. So the market, I think, at least end users are certainly assuming that they're going to be buying beans out of Brazil for quite some time. We saw a shift in the latest numbers out of China from April. That shift began a little bit sooner than normal, at least the past 3 years. Although the U.S. Sales did hold up pretty well until just recently.
And on that note, as far as China business, if I'm not mistaken, last month they had record imports. Most of those were from South America, but record soybean imports for the month. So I think the demand piece is still pretty consistent, even if it's not coming to the United States. And considering we still have been making export sales, and we've seen a few announcements on the morning reporting system, I think the demand base may be a little bit understated.
Yeah, I think the demand is going to be raised a little bit on the soybean side. We're using them, even if they buy them from somewhere else, it's still a total use that's going higher, which means ours will get used eventually.
Do we think this is a demand-led market then?
I'm comfortable that the demand base is present. I think it's been a force for several years, and why we have not broken corn and bean prices to some of the lower assumptions people previously thought, it's because of that demand. And when we say that, you always keep in mind, too, that the stocks-to-use ratio probably right now is more of a significant indicator than the actual bottom-line number. And the stocks-to-use ratio in beans is not increasing all that much. And the stocks-to-use ratio in corn actually is coming down a little bit.
Right. And, you know, as long as the Chinese economy keeps on growing at a 6-7% rate, we're going to have a continuing very healthy increase in soybean demand. One of the concerns now is that the Chinese government is trying to basically deleverage its economy, crack down on some of the debt abuses that local governments and businesses have been piling up. So far, the government has done a pretty good job in threading the needle on all these issues that it's been tackling. But just remember what happened 2 years ago when the Chinese stock market, which nobody had really heard of, all of a sudden sold off, and soybean prices took a big hit as a result. So there are some international developments like that that could come out of left field and kind of disrupt our markets.
We have seen those happen last week out of Brazil. And this week we had some similar functions out of Brazil, at least with unrest there. However, it didn't seem to have an impact on the marketplace, Pete Manhart.
Well, when the president was under trouble there for whatever supposedly he did or didn't do, beans did take a big dip down, but they recovered fairly well during the week. But right now we have them down again hard today, and we have to look at over this holiday weekend what's the weather forecast going to be as we come in next week? Will they be warmer and drier? And if they are, that will probably push things lower.
What are your prospects like, do you think? And I'll take kind of a poll across the board for new crop soybean prices. We've talked about $6 and $8 and $9. Rarely do we talk about $10 anymore. What are the soybean prospects for price for new crop? And Pete Manhart, I'll start with you.
Well, I think the usage is the big thing, and if we continue to have good usage like we have, I think we're can't go much lower, and we should go back towards that $10 number on the soybeans.
I think it depends on how the new crop hits and how fast it hits. You know, we could probably poke this thing back below $9, maybe even an $8.80, but I agree with Pete. I think we're still pretty range-bound trade because our demand base is just really, really strong.
Well, I'm still somewhat optimistic that we can get a rally at some point. We don't know if it's going to happen June, July, August, September, October, or maybe November or February. That'll give us an opportunity to sell for profitable prices. Selling soybeans at a loss just never seems like a great idea for me, but it's a market that can certainly wear on your patience.
Wait, So I'm having some trouble reconciling all of this because the three of you are telling me that old crop corn probably as good as it's going to get, maybe something different for new crop corn, but it doesn't sound that great. However, you're feeling better about soybeans, and when I put that down with the acreage numbers and what I see as the carryouts, those don't quite figure for me. Why is that the case? And maybe I just do my math wrong, but something doesn't add up. So it must be the demand side.
The demand side. Demand. I think that's the side that people aren't looking at enough.
If all of a sudden we come up with another 50 bushel per acre crop, then I think, you know, the conversation changes. Until we see those yields proven, the soybeans have shown a pretty remarkable tendency to generate some rallies. And, all we need really is, 50, 75 cents to get us back to some levels where you can probably start hedging at a profit.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of just look at the stocks to use ratio, because in the last USDA supply demand report, the stocks to use ratio for beans really only ticked up a little bit, maybe not even a half a percent. So realistically, the needle's not moved there. The demand is showing up, and we just can't expect an oversupply situation right away. We'll just have to watch and see how it develops. And as you said earlier, August is going to be probably the maker or breaker. Until you get closer to that, it's probably too soon to tell.
Well, let's take time now to wrap up our program. We'll get a final word from each of you. Pete Manhart, I think we'll start with you on this Thursday afternoon.
I still think there's hope for some kind of weather scares or some kind of scares this summer to be able to sell corn at a higher number than where we're at, and also the beans. So I'm looking for some bounce to be able to sell either futures to hedge or sell the crop.
Bill Gentry?
I think realistically the market's going to be sensitive. It's also going to be dependent on how the funds want to participate, because they've been the driving force for an extended period of time. But yeah, I do think that the markets have upside potential, maybe more so than we had last year to look at. And we still got some rally efforts last year. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but we got to make sure we pick our targets and execute when we get the opportunity.
And finally, Bryce Knorr.
Yeah, I think growers really need to focus on that corn market, because that's going to be the one that makes its move first if we get it. And you got to be pushing the pencil hard, trying to figure out where your profit is going to be. I think there's potential for rallies on the December contract of 420, maybe even 450 if we get a serious weather scare.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You'll also find all of our daily agricultural programming, including the opening, the mid-morning, midday, and closing market reports at willag.org, willag.org. If that doesn't work for you, try iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and my favorite way to access the programming online, using the NPR One app. Our thanks go today to our panelists, including Bryce Knorr from Farm Futures Magazine. He's based in Chicago, Illinois. We're also joined by Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.